Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors. It's time for Laurie and Lynn. Local talk to start your weekend right. And now, Laurie and Lynn on WILK.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Just ducky.
Oh,
I'm using your line.
Okay.
Jim, you know what, Dandy.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
That's a new one.
Yeah, I know.
We haven't done that one before.
Fill in the blank.
Yeah, okay.
Okay?
Yeah. So, how was your week?
Busy.
Your boy busy. Was here
my
last
My boy was
weekend,
here for
right?
one night.
Yep,
yeah.
One night. And when does he start his internship?
Law school.
Law school.
Yeah.
August.
He's off the end of August. He's works for Biden one more the rest of this month, and then he will leave his apartment and his job in D.C. and come home. And he's going to Europe for a couple weeks, and then he'll be home for the rest of the summer with his mother, as he should be, until he goes to law school.
Now, where is he going to live when he goes to law school?
He's living in one of the new dorms at the Yale Law School.
Okay. I didn't
on
know
campus.
They had dorms
yes.
for that. Okay.
Yes. So it's a double room, and he's Noah's his roommate, and that's what's going on.
That's great.
Yes. So
Very
he's
nice.
All excited for new beginnings.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I was driving down, and you know me, I blast my music. And
yes.
So, of course, Tim McGraw's song, Humble and Kind, came on, and I am bawling in the car.
Okay.
Because it's so true, like, it's so simple, the words, and it's so, I mean, I have a little bit of an issue with the word humble.
Yes.
Because
it's so foreign to you.
Well, it is foreign to me, but it also is, you know, I was once told by a very wise man that humility means finding your place in this universe and taking it.
Oh,
and so because of that, I
That's
feel like you got to own what you're given.
Yes.
As long as you're okay with it, it's okay to so I don't really dig the word humble. I don't like that because why does somebody have to be not say anything about what they are or what they've done? Like, just, you know, and in the song, he says, you know, feel pride in yourself, but just be humble and kind. And I get that, but I just, you know, I'm not saying you have to be, you know,
obnoxious.
Yeah, ridiculous and bragging all the time. But, you know, it doesn't hurt because, as my father used to say, if you don't blow your own horn, no one's going to do it for you. Jim Cadden, one of his favorite lines. And it's true because no one's going to give you credit. Except maybe when you're no longer around. And that drives me nuts, too.
Yeah, and that's of no value.
Right. It's just like, you know, it just, speaking of that, my, you know, this week, on, I guess it was Tuesday, you texted, but all these people were texting me about Kate Spade, and it just broke my heart because, you know, she's rough, you know, we're a year apart in age, and I love her stuff. I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
I know she didn't own the company. Well, I guess I really wasn't thinking she didn't, and so but when I realized she didn't, I remembered, I remember hearing that, but, you know, it's just,
It's also a classic example of money can't buy you happiness.
Exactly.
No, really. I mean,
exactly.
As much as she had and the wonderful things that she had, and that's the old story. You just never know what's going on in people's worlds.
No.
Because outward appearance was phenomenal.
Because
she was great,
health
happy, whatever.
Is wealth, really.
Yes,
and
it is.
Whether it's mental health or physical health, it's wealth. And everyone will tell you because you can't buy that. You can't buy health. You can't buy happiness, you can't buy mental health. It's if you look at what you have, and that's getting back to, I know it's like a kind of a segue, but it isn't, because it's part of being okay with what you've been given. and not being like, oh, I don't want to talk about it. Oh, don't say that about me. Come on, come on, come on. Like, you know, I just don't like that. It's just my opinion. I like people to be out front about their goodness and their with their gifts, and it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to keep it in. Be shout it out. Who cares? As long as you can back it up, who cares? I always say that. Back it up, baby, and sing your song.
Yeah, if you can back it up, that's right.
Yeah, I don't care. But that is just because to the outside world, looking at somebody like a Kate Spade, you think she has it all.
Mm-hmm.
And she had many things, you know, but it's, and I know it's a little too soon because we're taping on Thursday, so it's only 2 days ago and all this speculation and all this stuff, and you just can't believe anything till you really know. But it's, you know, to leave a 13-year-old daughter and she have to struggle all her life now to, you know, to come to terms with that is hard.
Yeah.
But to feel that that's your only way out, I remember one time somebody phrased that belief about suicide, that it's a whatever's going on is a temporary suicide, is a permanent situation, a permanent solution to a temporary situation. And although to them it doesn't seem temporary, it's chronic, and it's just, we have to pay so much more attention to this illness because it's so ever present. And
like you
we
said,
don't get it.
No, but I think the key word is it's chronic.
Yes.
It is something that suicide isn't caused by an event or a situation, a one-time thing.
Sometimes it is, though.
Well, but mostly there's a sense of it, in the sense that, there I go again, I screwed it up, or I can never do anything right, but it's a chronic sense of self.
Right.
That you find other things that feed right into that, mm-hmm. the belief about yourself.
Right.
And that's the thing that just amazes me when I look at people, and I understand Robin Williams was somebody, she was
fascinated. We talked about him, too.
She was fascinated.
See, I didn't hear any of this.
By his suicide and all the stuff
Jesus.
Around him. And it just, to me, that was if anybody said that to me, I'd grab them and say.
Fascinated is quite the word to use.
Obsessed
with
it.
Well, that's bizarre.
So those are the kinds of hints that you think, you know, oh, that's just, people don't really care about that. But she apparently did. And had made comments to her sister about, I know you don't ever like to go to funerals, but please be sure to be there for mine. Things, so, you know, when you hear things like that, you have to say, someone missed a cue here to get her some help.
You know, though, even if you do miss it, or even if you do get it, what do you do? That's what I think the biggest problem is. There's people I know right now who are dealing with that stuff. And what are you supposed to do? Take them and place them? What do you do with that? I don't mean the suicide. I mean with depression and bipolar situations where you think they're just like, okay, they're living with, they're dealing with it, and that's it. And I think we should have somebody on this show, because we've never done that, dealing specifically with this.
Yes, but I think that there are a lot of resources out there. There are suicide helplines.
Oh, absolutely. But
that
so
you or I could call and say, I have a friend who I think may be contemplating this. What
do I
do?
Well, I don't know if that's I'm not saying thinking that. I'm saying the depression issue that you think because everything else looks like they got it together, it's just something that's not going to, they won't do that. Probably people thought that about Kate Spade.
Probably.
Who
probably
would think?
About Robin Williams.
Right.
Too. I don't know.
I mean, it's just,
I don't think there is an answer.
No, it's horrible.
It's going on with people, and they do a really good job of masking it.
Right. Because they go on with their lives, and then you think, what did I miss? Coulda, shoulda, woulda. I just don't know.
You can't.
But it makes you really think about things.
Yeah, it does.
When it hits those
When you have high-profile people like that
yes.
that commit suicide, you really have to stop and think, I wonder who else is out there.
And your age. When you look at it, someone that's in your and someone you admire and, you know, you just love their things and, you know, you kind of just feel whatever.
Connected.
It's, connected in some way, shape, mm-hmm. or form. And it's just hard. It's, So
let's talk about some happy things.
Oh, we will.
All right.
But that's good. I mean, that's stuff we need to think about.
Who do we need to give any shout-outs to? People who had birthdays.
Birthdays? Lots
of people.
Or
wedding anniversaries.
Who's that? Oh, you? Who?
No, I'm just thinking that there's so many now because it's that time of year.
Yeah, there are.
Everybody has their anniversaries. And
well,
it's nice.
You know, do you know Beverly Johnston from Wilkes-Barre?
No.
Well, I just met her. And, I think I've met her before, but we're on a committee together, and she said she listens to our show.
Yay.
So we'll say hello to Beverly. She's a sweet lady.
Mm-hmm.
And, anyway, but that's, you know, people tell us all the time. It's just trying to remember people.
I know.
Every time.
I know. They say, I listen to your show. Uh-huh. And I say, I'll give you a shout out. And then I forget.
Yeah, I know. So don't do that, Lynn.
Well, the other thing I wanted to say is that this week on Tuesday night, I went to Silver Birch's restaurant in Holly. It's actually one of the properties owned by the Settlers Hospitality Management Company, who also owns Settlers Inn.
Your favorite.
And my favorite, yes. And the woman who was involved with that, Jeannie Genslinger, who is one of the principals in that company, had a meeting with a group that I'm involved with called Circle 200, and it was actually held in a private area of a Silver Birch's restaurant. And we were outside and had the most magnificent view of
sunset. Isn't
that
a waterfall or something? Isn't there? Is that,
it's on Lake Wampalpak.
Oh, well, where's the one where there's that, the bridge?
Oh, that's the other one. Yeah, okay. I can't think of the name.
The bridge? Not bridges.
No.
Well, whatever.
That's a different property.
But they're the same
owned
company,
by the
right?
same people, okay. Yes. And that does have a beautiful waterfall. But this one was just the most spectacular view of the sun I've ever seen, the sunset. It was
which
phenomenal.
Day was it?
Tuesday night.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. And we had a wonderful group of people. Everyone do a shout-out that I don't know that we ever did it, but we want to acknowledge Katie Leonard, who is the new president of Johnson School. She's... was one of the new members of the Circle 200, and I just saw her a little bit before we got here, and I just think it's great because Dr. Ann Popinski,
West Sider,
yes,
just saying,
I know, led the charge of a woman actually running the college, and now Katie has been groomed and is taking her place, and I think it's wonderful. So I just want to do a shout out to Katie.
Yes.
And we also saw the very lovely Katie Gilmartin, who is also a new member of Circle 200. And it was very interesting to connect all the dots with all the women who were there from... They actually had a motor coach, that drove from Wilkes-Barre up to Lake Wampalpak. And with some of the women who came, one of them was a woman who is now going to be the president of the Wilkes-Barre Junior League, and so we made sure we connected her with Katie for the Junior League, and they had a very interesting conversation. And the other woman who was in it with me, who had been, she's in her, I'd say, early 60s, and she was also the president of the Luzerne County Junior League, and it was so interesting to listen to the differences in just the cultural situations of what happened 20 years ago or 30 years ago when she was involved and where it is now. And she mentioned that when she was the president of the Junior League, this is Catherine Schaefer, that no one was recognized by their first names. They were all Mrs. John Schaefer or Mrs. somebody else. And she said, I was the first one that said, no, my name is not John. My name is Catherine. And so... She made sure that her name listed was Catherine Schaefer. And she said it was just so bizarre to see the difference because, as Katie said when we were talking about it, more than 50% of the women who are now members of the Junior League are single women and professional women. And they are doing what they're doing.
So it's been turned on its head.
Yeah. And so Mrs. John Schaefer has... No room anymore in the whole thing.
It should have never had room. And
but that's how
craziness.
It was. It was just interesting to listen to that conversation with the two of them.
And it's not that long.
I know.
All right, we'll continue this. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the Laurie and Lynn Show. We'll be right back.
Here's Laurie and Lynn.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Lynn Evans. I am the managing director of a company that I created 3 years ago, actually, this month, called Women of Substance. It is a financial planning firm dedicated to the needs, special needs of baby boomer women. And I'm also the host of a podcast called Power of the Purse Podcast, available on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And I'm Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business.
And you want to pick up on a couple thoughts about what we were just talking about relative to Junior
League?
Well, just
crazy stuff. It's always same thing with they have at San Andrea. They have that Mr. and Mrs. blah, blah, blah. Well, what if you're not a Mrs.?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's crazy.
And they'll call you Miss, that crowd, not Ms.
Well, I remember when I was a young kid working for Third National Bank, I waited on a woman to open up her account, and she told me her name was Mrs. John Doe. Mm-hmm. And I said, do you have a first name? Because that's how I have to open the account. I mean, God.
I know.
Oh, my God.
And she also, she was talking about something I think is really funny, too, because she was talking about serving on a committee and doing something that would require a lot of time. And one of the women in the group said to her, she said immediately, yes, I'll do it. And another woman said, but honey, don't you have to ask your husband first? No, I don't. But that's kind of how it was, you know? I mean, I remember that with my grandmother. My grandmother was always Mrs. William P. Evans Sr. And everywhere she went, she was Mrs. I could remember seeing it, Century Club, everywhere. Oh, everywhere God. She was that name. And I remember asking her one time, because the pictures, the caption under them in the newspaper were always the same thing. It was Mrs. in the guy's name. And I said something to her. I said, how come they don't put your first name in there? Now, this is, my grandmother died when I was 7. So, you know, just to give you an idea, I must have been 6, maybe 5, looking at this in the paper, and I wondered why she didn't have her name in there. She said, because that's just the way it is. I said, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. The way it was now.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm so happy we didn't have to be part of that. Really.
Really?
I really am.
Really?
No offense to anyone, but like people have an identity.
Yes.
And they actually, the women had more of an identity in what they did versus the name, from the name standpoint.
Yeah.
From in many cases.
Yep.
You know? And you know what I watched this week?
What?
Did you ever see the documentary on WVIA of Mr. Rogers?
No, I didn't.
I watched it the other night because I've never seen it. It was wonderful because it's 50 years,
yeah,
you know, 1968,
and
lots of stuff happened in the year 1968, actually. But it's just amazing the impact that man had on so many people, from his kindness to differences, mm-hmm, to his love of jazz and instruments and music and just plain old kindness. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Did you watch? I did.
Because I thought it was really nice.
Okay,
I just felt whenever I would see him, even though to a great degree you could mock him because he was so saccharine sweet in some cases, you want to just say, wake up.
Oh, no. See,
I love the fact that he offered that as it was almost as a counterbalance to the stuff that was also going on in the world in 68. With the Vietnam War and all
everything.
The other stuff.
Yeah, it was. And you know what I love, too? It's on YouTube, I guess. It was not part of the documentary that I don't think it was, unless I missed that part of it, because you would think it would be. When PBS was appearing before Senate or Congress, mm-hmm, or whatever it was, and he spoke, and they awarded the money because it was just flat, right off the cuff, no notes, you know, him saying his piece about public broadcasting, and because he was one of the first shows, so that, mm-hmm, was really interesting. But I just think what a remarkable man, and all of, you know, the people who worked, from Michael Keaton, who worked in Pittsburgh, and he kind of was in the documentary, and actually Michael Keaton won one of the Governor's Arts Awards in Pennsylvania years before, because he's a born and raised in the Pittsburgh area, which is where they shot Mr. Rogers. And he was in the few of the shows, and I think they were called the Flying Zucchini or something. And then he was also one who flipped the switch on the trolley, and he was talking about that. And, mm-hmm. and John Lithgow and just and that young girl, that Esperanza Spalding. Do you know who she is? Mm-mm. Well, she's a newer artist, and she wasn't in the or on the show, but she remembers it and how she feels it. And even that Sarah, is it Silverstone? Silverstein?
Stone.
Yeah. She was speaking about him, and mm-hmm. it was a wonderful, wonderful document. It's an hour and a half.
On
and
VIA.
It was WVIA. Now, of course, in between they have the pitch become a member, but the program itself was... It was great. He was just unbelievable. And his wife was on. She was interviewed and talked about times, you know, certain times with him. And he was with this big gorilla. And he said that, I guess he taped 9,000 shows or something.
Really?
Or something like that. I don't know. And 9,900, I don't know. And that was his favorite, with the gorilla. And the gorilla was trying to hug him. And it was just... But he had so many people, Perlman coming out in his crutches with his braces on his legs as a young man, mm-hmm. and a little boy in a wheelchair, and the differences of who people are and how the mailman started. It's just a wonderful way to know that a show like that could still be as, if not more so, important today.
Right.
I loved it. So I was very happy sitting watching my... At 8 o'clock the other night, I put it right into my phone, so I knew it would. I would like to schedule it in because I wanted to. I didn't want to miss it. So yeah, it was good.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah,
that's good.
So what else? What else do we have?
Well, I think we should do a quiz.
Oh no!
Come on.
Yeah, okay,
you love these.
I'm always up for it. You know that.
All right. Okay. So this is
what
from,
kind of a quiz? Can we do something on fashion or lipstick? Or
no,
something
we're doing
someday?
Financial literacy.
Oh God.
And this is from a website called Financial Engines. They're actually people who go into corporations and provide that kind of education for people with 401k plans. Mm-hmm. So it's called a financial literacy quiz. And the caption here is, even though many Americans are feeling more financially secure compared to 5 years ago, I think it's longer than that, actually. Only 6% were able to pass a quiz about a broad range of financial decisions they most likely will need to make. Whether you're starting out or are more established, making poor financial decisions today could undermine your financial health in the future. All right. First question. At least
are these true or false, did you say?
No, not all of them.
All right.
At least how many months of living expenses should you aim to have in an emergency fund? 1 to 3 months, 3 to 6 months, 1 year or more?
Well, I was going to say 6 months, but since it's 3 to 6, it may be a year. So I don't, that's a trick one to me because I want to say 6, but that would mean 3, 4, 3, 4, and 5 apply as well. So a year, 3 to 6.
There
you go. Okay.
Yeah.
See,
the general
but you know
rule,
why I'm saying that because
the
I thought it was 6.
Rule is you should have 3 to 6 months of living expenses in your emergency fund.
Okay.
But I would say too, this is my own addition to this. If you're a single person responsible for your own living expenses, I would have 6.
Okay.
Because 3 might work if you're in a situation where you have 2 wage earners so that the other one could pick it up, hopefully, if you're not both unemployed at the same time. But that would really, that's my answer. So 3 to 6 is really what it is. Okay, let's go to the next one. How much life insurance should you purchase if your annual income is $75,000? $75,000, $150,000, $750,000, or $1,500,000?
Well, you need as much. Well, you're dead, though, right? So,
yes.
So yeah. Who cares? I don't know. Go for the gusto. Go for a million. But I really do. Probably, I have no idea. So I'm just guessing that go for the most.
Okay. All right. So the answer is $750,000. Okay. It's 10 times the amount of your income. Okay. I do not agree with that.
You think it should be more?
No, I think it should be a formula. That's what they're using here. Well, you don't know what the other situation is. And then they say, decisions about life insurance are highly personal and depend on factors such as mortgage debt, marital status, dependent children or parents, where you live, and other life circumstances. Then they say, as a general rule, multiply your income by 10 to give you an estimate of how much you should have. And then they say, add $100,000 per child for college expenses. So this person would need $1 million if that were the case. Anyway, okay, let's see. What is the average annual rate of inflation for college tuition around the country? 2%, 5%, 8%, 11%.
11%.
Okay. All right, I said 8, and that's correct. 8% on average.
God.
This is about double the average annual increase in general inflation. At 8% annual inflation, college tuition doubles every 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
Nuts.
Yeah.
Okay. True or false? Only individuals with a net worth of at least $5.45 million or couples with a net worth of at least $10 million need to worry about estate plans. True or false?
False.
Correct. It is. I mean, that's...
Should we ring bells because I got that?
Yeah, okay. We should do something, yes. Drum roll, at least.
Yeah.
Okay, it's important to have an estate plan. What that was referring to is the amount of money that you can pass without federal estate taxes.
Right,
but it's not just about that.
Yeah.
So you're right. That is the way it is. Okay, if you take out a loan for $20,000 with an annual interest rate, believe it or not, of 20%, but don't make any payments, how much will you owe at the end of 4 years?
I have no idea.
Less than 20, 20, 30, 40, or over 40,000?
Over.
Over 40,000. Okay.
Is it 20 or 40?
You're right. It's over 40,000.
Right.
Because of the crazy interest rate.
Well, yeah. I mean, who's doing that?
I don't know.
And who's not making any payments?
That's
never
stupid.
Never going to happen.
The loan amount will have doubled to $40,000 in about 3.6 years. Is it better to take your pension benefit as a lump sum or as a lifetime monthly paycheck?
I would say that depends on your need, your desire. If you're going to reinvest or you need it to supplement your income, I that's
totally is the right
subjective.
Answer. It depends.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. Next one. How much could the typically healthy married couple retiring this year at age 65, covered by Medicare, expect to spend on out-of-pocket costs for health care through retirement? $50,000, $100,000, $200,000, $300,000.
On health care, meaning supplemental insurance?
And things
and
like the deductibles.
But they're relatively healthy.
Yeah.
So you're talking just basic out-of-pocket expense. And what were the numbers?
$50,000, $100,000, $200,000, $300,000.
I would say it's either 50, it's either A or B.
Okay, pick one.
I don't know. B.
The answer is $266,000.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Well, that's what they said. I don't know. You know, they do all this junk. Okay, which of the following is not covered by Medicare Parts A or B?
I have no idea.
Hospital care, dental care, ambulance services, hospice, or clinical research?
Dental.
Good.
Correct?
Yep, that's okay. The answer. Let's see, how many more? We have two questions. A typical 65-year-old man can expect to live on average for how many more years? 10, 15, 20, 25, or 30?
What's the number?
65. How many more years on average could he live? 10, 15, 20, 25.
I'm going to say 15 or 20. 15, I don't know, 20.
We're going to pick 20, and that's right.
Is it right?
About 20 more years.
All right,
yes.
Good.
So why don't we take a quick break, and we'll be right back and finish this quiz. You're listening to The Laurie and Lynn Show, and we'll be right back.
Here's Laurie and Lynn.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Lynn Evans. I am the managing director of a company called Women of Substance, which is designed specifically to take care of the financial needs of baby boomer women. I'm also the host of a podcast called Power of the Purse, available on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And I'm Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business.
And we're right in the middle of a quiz, which Ms. Cadden is the quizzer. I'm the quizzer, you're the quizzy.
Quizzy.
Okay.
I like that word.
All right. If you purchase a bond and interest rates rise, what will happen to the price of the bond? It will rise, it will stay the same, or it will fall.
Interest or stock?
Interest, your bond. Interest rates rise. What will happen to the price of the bond? It will stay the same, it'll go up, or it'll go down?
I don't know that answer, because I think when the stock rates are higher, bonds are lower, traditionally, aren't they? So I'm going to say, so interest rates would, I don't know the answer.
The answer is that it would fall.
Was fall, so it's the same answer as the stock.
Well,
if the stock goes higher, the bonds are lower. Isn't it?
Yes, but not necessarily, because this is referring to the interest rates.
I know, but it's the same answer then.
But the interest rates, when they go up, means the bond you're holding is of less value if you bought it last year.
Okay.
So therefore, the price of it will fall.
Because I don't know enough about bonds to even answer that.
I know, because you don't do that. You
don't
do bonds.
I don't.
All right. And then, what is the latest age to which you can defer claiming Social Security and receive an increased benefit? The last age that you can do this.
Now, we know that
it increases every year that you don't take it.
Yes.
There's a time when it doesn't make any difference anymore.
Right. Okay.
So is it 62, 65, 66, 70, or 72?
I'm going to say 66.
Okay. Answer is 70.
70?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. It goes up 8% after you reach full retirement age, which is it depends on when you were born now. But let's say in your case it's 67, okay? So if you defer that payment every year until you're 70, you get 8% more added to your benefit until 70. And then after that, they don't stop giving you the 8% increase.
I see.
So that's how it works.
And what's your take on that? Because you think people should take Social Security as soon as they're eligible,
do, only because I think it depends on the situation. Like, for instance, with Patrick, he was unemployed when he was 60.
Okay.
So there was really no need for him to wait. So he took it at 62. I, on the other hand, am fully vested right now, if you want to call it that. I could take my Social Security, but I choose not to, because I don't need it right now.
And it's building interest.
It's building that 8%.
Money, right.
So even though I'm still contributing to it, which I am, and it's also growing.
Why do it if you don't need it?
There's no need to do it.
Okay.
So based on what your answers were, drum roll please.
Oh, God.
You got an 82%.
I did?
Well, I put some answers in for you then.
Well, don't do that. I like to be honest, Lynn.
Okay, then you got a 41.
Yeah, exactly, because I knew I only got two answers right, or three. Four, I guess.
Okay, so I padded it. You know, what can I tell you?
Did you curve it?
I did indeed. So in that case, you actually got, your 80-some percent.
Hey.
All right, but they were good.
Maybe this will prove to the average person who says, does Lynn give you the answers before those tests?
Yes, exactly.
No. Hello.
No, I do not.
Well, you can't always be perfect.
This was raw and unfiltered.
And stuff I don't know enough about, so.
God. That's okay.
I know. At least I admit it.
Yes, I know. It's fine.
That's
it's fine,
it
but when you consider that this guy said, the person who created the quiz, that what was it, only 4% of the people actually passed the test, not got them all right, passed it.
What's passed, 70?
Yep.
Yep, it still is? Okay.
Yeah, all so right. you did okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. At 41?
I was making that one up.
Oh, all right.
81 is what you actually got, even though I helped.
Okay.
And I helped. Yes.
Okay. So.
All right. So let's see. There was something else I wanted to talk
about.
The
boat. Too. Your boat's out this weekend.
The boat is last weekend.
Oh, last weekend.
The boat
weekend?
Was
okay.
In the water. We actually, with the help of my dear friends, got the boat into the slip. In the afternoon on Saturday, when the rain finally stopped, mm-hmm. we got it all roped up so that it's good.
Oh, you did that? That's what you did before you met us for dinner?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we got that all done, and then we came back, and we had dinner that night. And we have to say that we went to Natale's, and the guy did another great move with the chocolate
yes.
cake that he saved for me.
Was it delicious?
Really good.
It looked
really
fabulous.
Really good.
Mm-hmm.
It was a definite chocolate fix.
Mm-hmm. Because you know. They do that cannoli cake, which yeah. is several layers, and yeah. then they do the gluten-free cheesecake, which mm-hmm. is lemon, and then they have lemon and pumpkin during the holiday.
Right.
And then they made that chocolate couple yeah. layer. What was that, three layers?
Oh, at least three.
And the icing was as thick as the layers of
that's
chocolate
right.
cake.
That's right, it was.
Yeah. Tony was looking for us because we had not been there, and he said, where have you been? One piece he had left for you. He said, I saved cake. I made a cake for your friend, and you didn't even show up. So,
well,
that's
you know,
good.
I'm glad he did. It was wonderful.
Uh-huh. But how about him telling us the stories of the little dude, his little grandson?
He's a wild one, isn't he?
Yeah, adorable, though.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, he's the kind
of kid. I wanted to say to Tony while he was telling us, Tone, you can't do those things with the 2-year-old.
No.
You've got to keep your eye on the
exactly.
ball.
Exactly.
And speaking of that, have you been watching the basketball championship?
No.
Ugh.
No, I don't.
Well, let me just tell you that I am not a fan of basketball at all.
Neither
really
am I.
Not. The dribbling, the whole back and forth thing. It's just not.
How
I like
did you
football.
Get into it?
Well, I like football, then I like baseball, then I like basketball least. It's not that I haven't. My kids have played little. I mean, they weren't good. They just they did what they could to be a part of a team. You know, it's not like they
yeah.
were athletes. They weren't. They're good, smart kids, but they weren't athletes. You know, they played baseball and t-ball, but they participated in team sports.
Mm-hmm.
But so we went, and then I went when I was in high school, and you do that to support, but it's just never been one of my favorite things. But when it comes to the championship, because I've always liked certain teams, like the Lakers and still are. My father loved the Celtics, so they were games that we had to watch because my father wanted us to know enough about every sport.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly football, but so when it comes to the championship, I like any of that. That's when it's exciting,
yeah.
And there's just some nice people, you know, some of the players are cool. And so Golden State and the Cavs are playing, of course, in the finals. And so I'm a Golden State fan because I just love a lot of those West Coast, West Coast teams, and so I love Seth Curry, Steph Curry, and I just think there's a bunch of those guys that they're excellent, and they're up against that LeBron James guy, and who everybody is just like, but, and he's not my,
he's not your cup of tea.
No,
huh?
he's wonderful.
Oh, yes.
I just don't care enough about them, but I like the other guys on the other team, so mm-hmm. I'm rooting for them. And they're up 3-0.
Okay.
So I'm hoping they win, because if they win, Friday night is which will be, when you're listening, last night, and they're playing in Cleveland. So I'm almost hoping that they win in Cleveland, so they'll go back to L.A. to play the game, and they'll win in their own hometown. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
It's always better to win when you're
in your hometown.
Right.
Yeah. Except if you're the Eagles.
What?
Except if you're the Philadelphia Eagles.
What do you mean? And what do you mean by that?
Well, this whole thing that's going on with the White House. And so, you know, I think a lot of the towns in Pennsylvania are trying to create the same thing of having the team come there. And they were going to do parades and all kinds of stuff for them. Because I
don't know why it's taking so long for them to go to the White House anyway. It's months ago.
I don't know.
You know? So.
And then they have different reports of only 2 were going to show up, 10 were going to show up, none were going to show up. I don't know. And that's all conjecture at this point. How do you know who would have shown up?
Mm-hmm.
You don't know. But
no.
The thing is, I think somewhere along the line, it would be nice just to have a big party with it, you know, really celebrate
wonderful.
In Pennsylvania.
It's Pennsylvania, and it's a good thing.
Yeah.
And a couple things. Well, one, I just read in the Scranton Times today about some guy who lives in Miami and Philadelphia, and the guy who was the quarterback who didn't play last year. What's his last name?
Wentz. Yeah, Carson Wentz.
He came and he walked through the plane, and people thought he was just going to sit in first class, and he went right through first class and sat in coach.
Oh.
And he was saying hi to everyone and smiling, and so this guy got up and went back to him. He said he was sleeping, and he tapped him. He said, please take my boarding pass and sit in my seat. And he said, no, I'm fine just the way I am. And he said, no, you're a big guy. There's bigger seats. They recline. He's like, nope, thank you very much, but I'm okay. And he's like, all right. So he tried, and he went back to his seat, and then on the way out, he thanked him. And then he found out later that he had just come back. He had just been in Haiti helping with the families and the people of Haiti.
Yeah.
And so sitting then in a first-class seat was not, he just needed to blend in with everybody else. And they just say he's a remarkable guy like that. So
should
that
be
was
interesting.
A neat story to hear.
This should
on
be,
the heels of all this other stuff, you know?
Yeah, but it should be an interesting season for them with him back.
I know.
Very interesting.
What was that guy's? What was the other one's name?
I forget. Was it Nick Foles?
That's it, Nick Foles. You got it.
He's the one that did the job.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens.
And I'll tell you, that game was great.
Oh, it was wonderful.
I know. But
yes, indeed.
Yeah. And then what do you think about the implosion of the Harrison Avenue Bridge?
I just drove by it.
Did you?
Actually, yes, on the way here. And I was thinking to myself, I wonder what it's going to feel like to go by
and not see
that. No difference. And it's, you know, under construction, the road to get up to 81.
Yeah.
So you can't see what's down there.
Uh-huh.
But I was just thinking, I'd love to see what it looks like live and in person, because I saw the implosion 14 different times yesterday on Facebook and the news. But it's just interesting to watch that. And I was really taken by the approach that most of the people talked about the fact that it was generations ago and in history, and it was so important and all gone in a few seconds.
I know.
And I never had all that wrapped into it.
Well,
the
thing that makes me a little sad, and I'll be quick because we have to go, but there is a John Willard Rott painted the Harrison Avenue Bridge, and he is a Dunmore artist who has many. He did a lot of the Coal Breakers. Mm-hmm. A lot of his work is in the Everhart Museum, and I, having worked there for so long, that bridge, it was commissioned, that painting, to go to the White House when Bill Clinton was president, because of Hillary's connection to Scranton. So it was that hung in the White House, and that's the Harrison Avenue Bridge, which is cool. Still hangs at the Everhart. So anyway, we're going to go. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend. Be safe, and please be nice. Bye.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.